and the champagne is popping in Washington and in many states, not so much in California now that the GOP tax plan has been approved by the House and the Senate, just awaiting the president's signature. Let's find out about its effect on California. From the California Budget and Policy Center, it's the executive director, Chris Haney. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us this morning. Not everybody, as I said, is celebrating this deal and some changes ahead for us who live in the Golden State.
Yes, that's right. There are a number of provisions in the tax bill that are actually designed to provide less benefits or to hit California taxpayers a bit harder, in large part because we're a higher cost state with more people who have higher level middle incomes and who are wealthy, or it takes more income to be middle income. And so
right.
we have some provisions like the state and local tax deduction, where the average deduction in California is $18,000 and the tax bill would cap the deduction at $10,000. So there's a significant loss there for folks who have taken that deduction. Similarly, the mortgage interest deduction, one of the most popular deductions in the tax code, is capped at mortgages of $750,000, which in most places in the country is a pretty sizable mortgage. But in places like the Bay Area and parts of Southern California, that's a middle-income mortgage.
Yeah, so that there's going to be a hit there. Is that going to offset any potential increases we could get when it comes to our monthly income?
Well, it's going to depend on what other aspects of your household would benefit from the tax bill. So, for instance, people who have children, the child tax credit, if they qualify income level wise, could offset some of these other losses. Similarly, if you run your own business as a sole proprietor or as an S corp, you may be able to use some of the pass through deductions on the business side to offset some of the personal income tax. So it's very much contingent upon what your household income and makeup looks like.
Washington says this is a boon for middle-class America. How do you interpret that?
Well, it's primarily a boon for corporations and the wealthiest households. Over the life of the tax bill, 83% of the tax benefits are going to go to the top 1% in income in the country and to corporations. There are for some middle and low-income households, there are some small benefits in the early years of the tax bill, but those are also set to expire. And after that, for a variety of reasons, people's tax rates will go up. So it's a boon to the wealthy and the corporations. It's less clear how well it's going to benefit folks further down the income spectrum.
Yeah, and what do you make of the fact that the basically the middle income tax cuts will expire and the corporate tax cuts will not?
Well, that's just simply a choice they made. And they had to cap how much they were willing to add to the federal deficit at $1.5 trillion. And that meant they could only do so much in terms of what they were who they were trying to give benefits to. And in the end, they chose corporations and the wealthiest 1% over other folks in the tax system.
Well, there are some businesses here in this state, Chris, who are seemingly jumping on the bandwagon and saying, yeah, we're all in. They are corporations, by the way. But people like Wells Fargo and AT&T who've said not only are we going to, you know, give our employees a $1,000 bonus, but some of us are going to raise the, a lot of folks to $15 an hour ahead of time because of this plan.
And that's great news. That's actually the hope. One of the questions about giving tax cuts to corporations has always been, do they turn around and give the dollars to their shareholders and put the dollars back into their own stock, or do they pass those dollars on to workers? And those early signs from a couple of corporations are certainly better news than we might have expected based on past behavior and history. It remains to be seen what happens across the corporate and business sectors. But those are certainly some good early signs.
And of course, here in the North Bay, you know, it's hard for us not to focus on disaster relief and, deductions that are associated with our wildfire losses and that sort of thing. And this particular bill isn't very good for that purpose either.
Right. They have limited the deductions for certain kinds of disasters. This is another place where it's hard not to look at how they've designed the provision and not come to a conclusion that there was a purposeful targeting of California here, because the what you can get for disaster relief in terms of how it affects your tax bill has some provisions that actually limit those benefits in terms of things like wildfire damage, which has, you know, certainly been a major issue here in California over the last year.
Yes, it has, and we'll stay tuned to see what happens when we start getting our paychecks about mid-next year, I suppose. Chris, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it, and happy holidays to you.
You too. Thank you.
All right, that is Chris Haney. He's the Executive Director for the California Budget and Policy Center.